That's the
Yar, I'm Kyle, regular Kyle, who's a pirate, and I'm in pirate times, and I'm Kyle from the pirate time.
1952.
You don't want to participate in the improv activity that we're doing, or no?
No, I just didn't know if you were a pirate from 1952.
No, I'm a pirate from pirate times. You fuck.
Hello, I'm an old newsie. Come get your papers. Come get me some gruel.
Have you got maps?
Why, there might be some maps in this paper, sir, but first you gotta pay me a pence, some sort of a pence, I think.
I'll give you 5 pence.
Oh, I'm the richer.
5 whole pence. And who's this? I'm losing my voice.
Merkham, Merck in 1989.
1989? 1989, Goffner!
What's special about... What's
everybody
special?
Suddenly, when they go in the past, doesn't matter how far, yeah. Doesn't matter where,
yeah.
You automatically get that voice!
Yeah!
I'm in 1989!
Extra, extra!
Extra, extra! Read all about it!
They did have newspaper.
They's making a Batman movie, they is!
Oh, they is!
The story of Mr. Mom? Oh, that's going to be a bloody terrible film!
Freshen your film, Governor!
Anyway, episode go now.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, lady.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast! Zero Issues Comic Podcast!
Excelsior!
It's going.
Hey, welcome to this episode, which is episode number, I don't know, 400 and something. But
400 and something, but yeah.
More importantly, what is today? Give or take.
Wednesday.
Well, we're recording on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And what's your name? And can you tell me?
It's Mick. Oh. And I'm in.
We got a very loose idea of what time is, I think. Yeah, very loose.
Yeah.
Appropriately.
Well, yeah, very loosely. We're not sure of the exact moment, day whatever, but...
It would take a lot of scrolling up on a group chat.
Yeah, and that's too much work for us.
Take 10 years of scrolling to find out when exactly 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago, we began this.
Yeah.
A whole decade.
And now we're all podcast millionaires.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
And I've gotten stronger.
Much stronger.
I've gotten weaker.
Much weaker.
Much weaker.
You know, I feel like I've stayed largely the same, but any minute now I could just fade away into dust.
Oh.
I'm holding it together, though.
Yeah.
Mr. Stark?
Yeah.
Mr. Stark?
Oh, no. Oh. It's fine. I'll be back in 5
You'll
years.
Be back.
Yeah, I'll be back in 5
years. 15th year anniversary. It's going to be great.
Right. Yeah, we'll do 5 years without Bri.
And then I come back and you are podcast millionaires. I'm like,
I mean, if that's what it takes, look, I'll do what it takes. I need the money.
Yeah. The Infinity Stones aren't here, right? Like, Kyle can't get them.
I'll get the space one. It just makes two of me.
I mean, that's pretty useful.
No, it's me still.
Twice the procrastination.
Twice the uselessness.
Yeah.
Kyle, get on that. Yeah, I'm gonna.
You get on that.
You're not gonna. I'm gonna. I know you're not gonna, because I'm not gonna. I'm making you do it. Listen here, buddy. No, you listen, buddy. Oh, hey, guys.
I think
10 years!
I think both Kyles could use a hug. Kyle, get on that. Other Kyle,
hug each other.
You too.
I said just hugging.
Don't tell the Kyles what to do.
Off to Utah.
The regular Kyle and a Wario Kyle.
Yeah. Wild.
Wait. Wait, okay, it's would it be Wa Kyle?
Yeah, Wa Kyle, I guess. It would be Wa Kyle. Right. Yeah.
Should we warm this up?
Yes, please.
Oh, bad. Yes. Yep.
Welcome to the warm up.
Okay, we're
10 years of the warm-up. Can you believe it?
No. We've been warming up for 10 years, and I'm still feeling a little chilly.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah.
Chilly, but that's okay. I would like to talk about, I almost talked about this a few episodes back, but ran out of time. Instead, I talked about another comic I've read. Reading comics, as it turns out, pretty fun.
Yeah.
I do recommend having time to read comics.
Only took us 10 years to come to that conclusion.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's a list of movies.
I'm talking about, I think 6 or 7 issues are out so far. It is The Flash, which is a little known character from Detective Comics comics. You may have heard of them.
The Flash.
The Flemch. Yeah.
The Flash.
Fletch? Fletch?
That's the Mad Magazine parody. What would the Mad Magazine parody of The Flash be? That's not important.
The Flemch. The Flash. Like, he like spits up phlegm at super speed. Gross. So yeah, the Flash was a book that, I was reading it before they renumbered, and I was really enjoying it. It was by Jeremy Adams, Fernando Pescarin, I think, was the artist, and there was others as well. Torrin Clark, I think, did some covers. Anyway, it was...
Who's doing this book?
It was really good. Really liked it a lot. Sorry. Brought back the whole Flash family. So that ended a little abruptly, and it seemed like the team there hoped to continue, but instead kind of reshuffled.
Okay.
So it hit... the Flash hit... It went to legacy numbering. It hit number 800, which is neat.
Oh, that is neat.
And then they immediately afterwards be like, new number one. And I'm like, well, all right. I'm not a huge fan of that. And it was a new creative team. And I was like, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Because again, it is a Wally West book still, mainly, which I enjoy. He's my favorite Flash. Yeah. I'm always going to, if Wally's like the main Flash, I'm going to want to check
Wally West Saeed.
Mm-hmm. So this is, the writer is Cy Spurrier, and the artist is Mike Diodato Jr., who's been around for a while.
Really?
Which seems like an interesting...
He's popped up, and he was hardcore Marvel for a while, and then he seemed to kind of, at least off my radar of the stuff I was reading, he disappeared. He actually popped up doing a variant cover of one of the Conans.
Really?
And, I like him, and I don't. He can be a little veiny. Everything's jacked.
Yeah, there's certain... Yeah. You know what I mean? Sometimes... And Mike Diodato has... You know, the style obviously has changed a bit over time. Yeah. And as a skilled, you know, skilled artist. This is a little bit different. It's not entirely. It's still got like that kind of detail he does. And he kind of does a little bit of like realism, as it were. But what you have, it's sort of like they have the paneling is there's always like bits of panels around the border. You know what I mean? It's like there's these moments that are kind of. And it's playing around with time and reality. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's really aiming to be a really trippy book, mainly. Like, the intro is all weird and glitchy and colorful. Yeah. And it's really kind of, what it's doing is exploring more kind of the Speed Force. And it's really kind of going for more of a cosmic sci-fi horror kind of a vibe, which is interesting. Which I thought was interesting. It was like, that doesn't sound like what I was enjoying up to now, but that's fine. It's a new run. I would, you know, part of me just hopes that the stuff that I was enjoying from the Flash run doesn't get cut off and it's going to completely change. And it doesn't, which is really cool. There's a lot of focus on Wally and his family, a lot of good character writing. And what they're dealing with, something is up with the Speed Force. There's a lot of like, you know, rogues are sort of attacking Wally.
Yeah.
And like using different technology and like alluding to things like, oh, like something bad is coming and he is not quite sure what's going on.
Oh.
Meanwhile, he's sort of everyone's being impacted by it differently. Like the book starts off again, if you're appealing to me, Max Mercury and Impulse are are raced. You know what I mean? Like they're back together and they're racing and they start to run. And she has this vision of like a buffalo and stuff, like with red eyes, and it just completely throws them for a loop. Like something is like communicating through the Speed Force in a way they don't understand. And it's also impacting everyone connected through the Speed Force kind of in different ways. You're sort of seeing, I think Barry is losing time. Like he's just sort of like, oh, like I don't know what happened. Like he's sort of like, you know, and he's having these migraines. His kids. Their powers were sort of developing a little differently. Wally's kids. Yeah, sorry. Wally's kids. Yes. You know, you have Irie, who is working, I think, Thunderheart. She's going by now. And she's, you know, good friends with Animal Man's daughter, Maxine, which is cute. They go to the same school.
Mm.
And then you have like Jai or Jay, who is powers are sort of evolving a bit. And his powers were sometimes he had like speech or power. Sometimes he didn't. And it's sort of a weird thing where you can sort of like people he's connected to. He can kind of like through the Speed Force, like go to them right away kind of stuff. Like it's just playing around with interesting stuff, like something weird with the Speed Force. And Wally kind of develops the ability to kind of step outside of reality. He's like, can go to like a different dimension, like different planes.
He's a man outside of time.
Yeah. And the way the book is set up, again, like another thing here where you'll have like, you know, just periods here where it's just literally
dialogue.
Yeah, like prose sort of dialogue cut in there. They have these panels. The page is always like there's stuff sort of in their own little panels on the edges. Like there's more moments going on that you can't see all of.
The design of it looks very geometrically cut, designed. Yes.
And clever. And I mean, like, and you have like stuff like this where moments where like Wally is like not, he's like stepped out of reality. He's like in a different kind of a plane.
Here, right.
Where something is getting to him through the Speed Force. And also like clearly there's something else happening in the Speed Force that he isn't fully aware of. And it does. It picks up like right off of what happened there. Like currently Wally is working for Terrifitech for Mr. Terrific, for Michael Holt. So he's still a regular character there, kind of his science, you know what I mean? Kind of like doing like the Star Labs kind of a thing in a sense, I suppose. And you have like his, like speedsters are sort of going missing, like the timeline, like there's like the time point or whatever it was called, like kind of this outside of time area seemingly has been destroyed. Everything's just gone a little wild. And a lot of it is built on what was set up in the previous run. So that's kind of neat. Oh, yeah. So he's, there's these other beings that are basically,
Beans?
Beans. These beans.
Yeah. Speed Force beans.
Yeah.
Shoot through you like a howitzer.
There's almost like these weird, like, spirit things called, like, the Stillness that sort of are communicating. They're like these big, giant, kind of weird Speed Force-y things. There's something else called the Archangels, like Archangels, but it's like,
Archangels.
It's, like, there's all these kind of, these weird new, and it can be a little complex because there's all these like new terms and new things going on, but you're going through it the same way as him being like, I don't know what this is and trying to figure this out.
They're flunting. They're trying to flunt.
Yeah. And again, it's just getting very trippy and like, you know, dealing with other realities, like borderline Morrison-y, one could even say, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the same time, you have like, there's a lot of stuff because Linda, Wally's wife, recently had a baby, had their third kid named Wade.
Oh. Congratulations.
Congratulations, fictional character. But yeah, so she's going through what seems like postpartum, but it's not just that. Because it's also she's also being impacted because she also was she had speed powers when she was pregnant.
Oh, okay,
like,
right.
Through the kid. Bit of a Videl situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Dragon Ball again.
I figured.
Some references.
I was like, no idea. Must be Dragon Ball.
Yeah. But like it's impacting her mood and personality in a way. So like it's kind of it seems like you focus on all of these other characters again, Max and Bart, and like his kids and his wife and Barry, and they're all kind of being impacted in a way that seems like it's kind of splitting them up, tearing them apart a little bit. And there's all this weird cosmic horror mystery stuff going on. Just a fun time, kind of enjoying it.
So you recommend it.
I would recommend it. Yeah. If you're a fan of Wally West or The Flash in general or just weird, trippy superhero comics, I think it's worth a read. I don't know where it's going yet.
Yeah.
So for 6 issues was like its own kind of a story. Issue number 7 is starting out. And that's the other artist is Ramon Perez, who's doing it right now.
Like
who I also really, really like.
Really good. Yeah.
You're a huge fan of Ramon Perez. Going back to Butternut Squash webcomic, decade or two, or probably a couple decades ago, really, was a huge fan of that, and seeing...
Yeah, if you say it's a decade ago, it was probably 25 years ago.
Yeah, probably, like 15 to 20, something like that, but it's just neat seeing, I haven't read that issue yet, but it's, you know, I'm quite enjoying it. Mike Diodato Jr., I think, is doing some really cool work.
Mm-hmm. Something different from what he normally does. I mean, the shadow still looks... like Mike Diodato shadows.
He's very shadow oriented.
Big time.
And those shadows are just black as night.
Yeah. Like you have this, for example, where like Wally, everyone else is like frozen and there's like weird like Speed Force ghosts and like
his
kids are like, you know what I mean? Like time has stopped and like it's just wild stuff.
Yeah.
and I'm just quite enjoying it. And
it's something different.
Can't wait to see where it goes. Yeah.
Cool.
Like,
cool.
It's one of those ones where I was a little apprehensive when I started because it was replacing kind of a team that I was really enjoying. But I'm also really enjoying this. I think it's a good time to be a Flash fan.
It's a good time to be alive.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Speaking of time, let's go on to the main topic.
What the f***?
We are talking today about comic stories and comic-related stories that kind of play with time in a way. Sure. Time or place.
Or both.
Because or both. Whether it's like legitimate good stories of characters just suddenly getting tossed somewhere in time and then having to deal with it.
Yeah.
Or my original idea had that, but with also like including Elseworlds and stuff where... like I'm going to talk about a couple of those that it's not time displacement, but you've taken that character and put it in a different spot right. than it usually.
Yeah.
So
whether it's a character that's usually not in that time.
Yeah.
Whatever way that is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 It can happen like a canon thing. It could be an Elseworlds.
Yeah. Canon or not canon.
Right? Tons of stuff.
To give a perfect example of that, I think to start, Marvel's 1602.
Ooh, yeah.
Which was written by Neil Gaiman. It's what funded his legal battle to get the rights to Miracle Man back, which he then gave to Marvel.
Just
awesome.
Give it to them, or did he?
I don't know if he just gave it to them, but he did just give them Angela, I think.
Yeah, that.
I think that was just a spiteful.
Yeah,
thing.
That was,
it was
like,
awesome.
Yeah.
I get that.
I'm gonna
one,
take that from you and give it to the people you hate the most.
So 1602 for the uninitiated was. A short series. I think it was 8 issues. There were some spinoffs afterwards, but basically superheroes. Oh, it's up on the shelf there. Where? I don't see it. That's fine. I don't need to see it. I lived it. I haven't even read it.
Oh yeah.
I haven't, but
you're going to talk about it, but you haven't read it.
Yeah. I'm not. Look, I never claimed to be an expert. I never got close.
I'm
gonna
it.
Bridge the gap, but I read it like when it came out and have not since.
The reason I started off with it is you know very much like an Elseworld sort of thing.
It's it
like,
is.
Oh, superheroes are coming out, you know, 400 years before normally. Is there a reason for that? And it turns out there is a reason for that. It's because Captain America got sent back in time and now he's a Native American. He's not. I mean, he's not.
Oh, okay.
He got like sort of memory erased and then landed, you know, in the 1600s and was sort of brought in to a tribe of indigenous Americans.
Yeah.
He was, I think,
taken in.
Yeah. He was Rajas. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I see.
But it's like, this is the whitest man. other characters who show up, there's, you know, the X-Men mutants are called Witch Breed. So
right.
There's.
Yeah, because of course at the time it would just be like, oh, witches.
Yeah,
witches did everything.
Magneto is leading the Spanish Inquisition against the Witch Breed, but, you know, secretly saving them. And Charles Xavier.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit of an
X
Factor plan for Magneto. Not the smartest idea, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the original five, including John Gray.
Oh, yes.
You know. Classic 1600s. That's a lady in drag.
Yeah.
John dancing in the dark gray. And yeah, it's just like, what if Marvel, but in the year 1600?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Is that Cubert or Cubert's drawing?
You should let me read it.
Some manner of Cubert.
If you want, you can borrow it.
I know that the
Andy
art Cubert, style
yep.
is
the video game Cubert.
They don't. Yeah. He's swearing up a storm.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, Cubert has such a dirty little mouth. Sorry.
We want to specify we don't mean Andy Cubert.
And Cubert's mouth is just like sort of a honker.
Yeah,
like
it is kind of a honker.
Like the Philly Fanatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Birdo, I guess.
Yeah, the Capital City Goofball.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it? What's... Give me more.
More?
Give me some more.
I'm sick
of listening to me.
We'll stick with the Elseworlds variant.
I'm going to break that, That's fine. You go.
No,
ahead.
No, it's fine. Just while we're just to hop onto that, Gotham by Gaslight, and also I'm including The Doom That Came to Gotham.
Yeah, those are sort of linked in my head too.
Yeah,
even
and
if
I guess
they're
that,
not exactly, they're
both Mignola, and I guess there's a third one because when I looked up The Doom That Came to Gotham, said this is the third in his Batman Elseworld kind of.
They are doing, I believe, a sequel to Gotham by Gaslight, but like not involving, you know, the original creators, right? But yeah, so that wouldn't apply.
But super fun. I remember being absolutely blown away. I think that wasn't Gotham by Gaslight the first Elseworlds?
Oh my goodness. That sounds because right, but I don't know.
I've never seen anything like that. I'd never thought of like that idea of other than like here's a time displacement story and Batman suddenly goes here or whatever. But it was like, no, that's a different Batman.
Yeah.
Yep.
The other one, I'm not sure in what order it came out. This one's called Black Masterpiece. Also an Elseworld story about a young apprentice to Leonardo da Vinci who becomes the first Batman when the woman posing for the Mona Lisa is kidnapped. That was in Batman Annual number 18.
And is that Mignola again?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, that one I'd never heard of.
Well, he did the cover. And that's it.
Oh, maybe just.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's why I never.
Yeah.
Fully that.
Yeah.
Because the other ones, I think, were more prestige format kind of stuff. And that was another thing. And this was early on in that. Here's a prestige format kind of little standalone story.
Yeah.
Picked up Gotham by Gaslight. I'm like, what is this? And the art is so different. Mm-hmm. And just that, I'm like, oh my God, he's in the 18th century kind of thing. Just that, I love that. That's the thing I like about these sort of things is when you can just redesign a costume, make it a little bit different. Like they did that a lot in 1602. Did all that in 1602.
Yes.
But just that, those little tweaks that are just, they're fun.
Yeah.
And that's why the Ultimate Universe was fun because you could suddenly just do different sort of things.
I really liked the costume in The Doom That Came to Gotham where like the cape was attached to the wrists.
Yeah.
So, you know, made it more like a flying squirrel.
Yeah. I like that too.
And I didn't, I don't think I even read that story, The Doom That Came to Gotham.
Oh, you didn't? Well, maybe I should make you feel bad about it.
But I did see the movie and then realized, I didn't realize that's based on something.
Yeah.
And if you don't know about that one's like a Batman, what is it, 1920s?
Yeah, it's like Lovecraft.
But it's based into like Lovecraftian.
Then Dr. Doom comes to Gotham.
Yeah.
It's a Marvel versus DC crossover, right? Isn't that?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Drawn by Steve Ditko. But yeah, like Ra's al Ghul and Green Arrow and Etrigan are in there. Oh, and it's just very.
The Penguin goes crazy.
Yeah.
There's some stuff with the League of Assassins.
The animated version of that is really well done. I quite
know. I haven't seen that, but you've mentioned that a few times.
Yeah, it was good. It was. I've been kind of. Usually DC, I like them a lot. A lot of their animated stuff, but in the past, I don't know, 10 years, I feel
since
like
the,
it's kind
since
of fallen
reboot,
off. Yeah,
when they, like post, I can't even remember what that last one was called. Apocalypse War, maybe?
Yeah, Apocalypse War, something like that. Yeah, where they did like a reboot, and then it was like that. There was a Constantine.
That's right.
One that, like, in the House of Mystery.
Yeah,
which was sort of like
that wasn't bad.
An epilogue to that. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And then they started with the new stuff.
The new stuff, yeah. I haven't seen, there's like Crisis one that was out recently.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
I did see that. It is all right.
Yeah. I like that.
I find like that they're more hit or miss, or they're just kind of like,
I feel like it's a little early and maybe you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dug the Justice Society, like the World War II one. That was kind of a
fun
time. Oh, yeah.
The Flash, I feel like he looks weird in that. It's just,
like Barry?
Like his face just looks weird. I don't know.
Yeah, he's no Wally. Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw it really fast, though. Anyways,
Brian, what do you got?
Oh, I want to talk about...
The Flash.
The Flash. No, you know, you could. I mean, it's pretty... But I've talked enough about The Flash, though I could...
Anyway, here's The Flash.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about a 1995 one-shot, which is Spider-Man meets Spider-Man 2099.
Okay.
Which I always... I think I read it back at the time, and I kind of gave it a read through ahead of recording just to make sure I was fresh with it.
Yeah.
So there's you know, there's like an evil like time changing scheme going on. Part of that, so Peter Parker in 1995 at the time, and Miguel O'Hara, in 2099.
Is that the year?
Hard to tell. Yeah, they just swap places. Boom. Completely. Just like Peter is out being an insomniac.
It's a
like,
Freaky Friday around. Spider-Man style.
Yes, exactly. So like, but except they stay in their own bodies. Mm. Their whole bodies, you know, it's not like they're in each other's bodies. So like Peter Parker, all of a sudden, he's like, you know, it just sort of starts with him like, whoa, where am I? There's like these flying cops and they're like flying bikes and
they're
flying
like, get
cars.
The shock out of here, you shocker.
Oh, yeah. They say shock and all the time.
He's like, shocker, where? What did Shocker do that was so bad that his name is a curse word in the future? Am I the first person to think of this?
It's mostly just because he sucked. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was just like kind of a joke. So they just made him into that joke. So he's sort of under attack all of a sudden. And then Miguel wakes up in Peter Parker's bed. It's weird because like he wakes up like.
And just kisses him softly.
Yeah. He wakes up. He's.
You okay, buddy?
Let me hold you.
He,
come to Miguel.
It's okay. There's no such thing as flying cops.
Oh, God. Thank goodness. Yeah, so he wakes up bare-ass naked in with his, like, costume, like, over the edge of the bed.
Yeah.
And Mary Jane is also in that bed because they were married at the time. You know, covering herself up like, who the hell are you? And he's like, ah, shock and shock, shock, shock. And then gets out of there.
Rhino, Jackal.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of some other crap.
Yeah.
Oh, Kraven. What the Kraven?
This
guy's a real alpha.
Yeah, so Spidey, he has his 2099. Miguel puts a suit on. He's webbing around. He's like, whoa, what's going on here? This place looks like, you know, looks like old New York before they built New York on top of old New York.
Hey, guys, it's me. I'm a regular modern day guy.
Yeah.
Like, why are you talking like that? Because I'm back in the past.
Yeah. See? Oh, New York. See?
He immediately.
He's sleeping with the fishes.
He sees a sign for the Daily Bugle and immediately he's like, news bugle. That doesn't make any sense. He's like, oh, yes, they used to print newspapers on paper until they found out that they discovered that printer's ink causes cancer. Which I'm like, what a weird. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
What do they call the Daily Bugle in the future?
I'm not sure.
They don't cover it in it? It's not the Daily Melodica or something?
the Daily Harmonica Hero, yes. So he immediately...
The Weekly Trombone?
Miguel immediately pops... He goes into the Daily Bugle, and he's just, like, sticking on the wall and explaining to everybody there how the printer ink is going to give them cancer. And then, like, Jonah Jameson shows up to yell at him, just, I think, thinking he's Spider-Man, and he, like, he literally just... Like, Miguel just webs his mouth shut, throws him on a chair, webs him to it, and just kicks him across the room.
Also, this will give you cancer.
He just takes over the newsroom. He just, like, takes over. He's like, hey, people, give me information to help me figure out what's going on here. Yeah. He apparently, if you just web up Jameson's mouth and put him in a chair, you're the editor-in-chief now. So, I feel like Peter...
Having formerly worked for a newspaper, yeah, that is how it works.
Yeah, that is how it works. So, I mean, that was kind of neat. It was just a fun time. You have, like, you know, Peter doesn't know where he is. He's in this future. He's fighting the version of the Vulture in the future where, like, Miguel, like, Venom attacks him for some reason. Even though I'm pretty sure, like, he could sense that it wasn't Peter. And he said, like, for some reason, he was, like, mad at him because he thought Spider-Man 2099's costume looked too much like his. So they had to fight. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It was 1995.
Yeah. I really wish that... This is a quick aside. Yeah. I really wish that 2099, the year they kept updating it every year.
Yeah.
As opposed to still calling it 2099 and having that be a fixed point in time. Because eventually, not us, but...
somebody's going to get there.
They're going to get to that year. And are they going to do like an Arno Stark thing? Like how he showed up in the, you know, the main 616 continuity in 2020 when the character originally was around for... Anyway.
There's even a few aspects here, even like sort of like Peter all of a sudden, like something weird happens and all of a sudden he's like in a different world. It's kind of like the first Spider-Verse movie. He's like walking around in a Spider-Man costume, but he's got like this green jacket he stole somewhere over top and like a helmet and a scarf and stuff. And I'm like, all right. There's the 90s references are great because like Spider-Man makes a Kato Kaelin reference.
Okay, Kato Kaelin. Even at the time. Yeah.
1995.
Even at the time, I didn't know who Kato Kaelin was.
Yeah, I know.
I was 10, but you know.
He makes a comment about Kato Kaelin, and then the Vulture 2099 says...
President Kaelin?
Yes! No, literally, I don't know why you think I could be beaten by a long-dead ex-president. Wowzers. Like, everything in the 90s, that's the...
There's still time, right?
Oh, there's still time.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know. That's one of the beautiful things about these time travel stories like this is that, one, especially reading it, you know, like 30 years later, being like, oh my God, like it's fun on the surface, but also like as a time traveler, in a sense, being like, just the references and the jokes and all the, like the time travel jokes they made in 1995 are kind of hilarious.
It's like that scene in Pluto Nash where he gets a briefcase full of money. And he's like, damn, that's a lot of Hillary's.
And there's also a weird moment where like Peter is like almost seems like he wants to stay in the future.
Oh, it's
like,
the future.
You're married in the past, but it was during the clone saga, so it's hard to really hard to hold that against him. I could see would be like, you know what?
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with that there.
No clones in the future, right? Oh, yep. There's what?
And there's also a scene where
you're all clones because you were made infertile by I don't know, conditioner? Conditioner makes you infertile.
All the newspapers you ate?
That's why we are super fertile. Because we're bald. Because we're bald.
Because we're bald. Because we're
we
bald.
We don't use conditioner. But.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's not even it. They also have Spider-Man 2211 show up at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, this was, and I think this was the first time that there was a crossover between those two versions of Spider-Man, like Spider-Man 2099 and, you know, Peter Parker.
Yeah. Mm.
So, you know, when you think, kind of, you know, this is a key part in this Spider-Verse field
development
future we're living in now, I think. Yeah, it's Peter David, Rick Leonardi. I mean, it's definitely a time capsule of its time, but
yes.
I recommend it. Hmm. Check it out.
To sort of jump off that, in a weird future, not future, did y'all read all of Black Panther, like when Ta-Nehisi Coates was on the book?
I didn't, no.
Not all of it, a lot of it. I think around that time, I just sort of rage quit Marvel because I got tired of constant relaunches.
That's fair.
And I think that's one of the ones where I was enjoying the hell out of it, but be like, I'll catch up with this later, and I just haven't.
Yep, that's fair. Because near the end of it, they did an arc called the Intergalactic...
Yeah.
What was it? The Intergalactic Empire of Wakanda.
Yeah.
Where basically... T'Challa wakes up and he like sort of has some of his memories, but not all of them. And he's in space and he's sort of like a slave in service of the Intergalactic Empire of Wakanda, which has, you know, been having a conquest in the galaxy for the last 2000 years.
Mm.
And he's sort of like, OK, what's going on? And he, you know, he becomes Black Panther again. He teams up with, you know, characters who are named, you know, similar to characters he already knows, like that's where the new M'Baku comes from.
Oh, right. And it's like named after, obviously.
Yes.
But
yeah, exactly. And it's later revealed that what happened was, you know, like the Alpha Flight, like space program in Wakanda sort of sent people out to investigate this giant vibranium meteor, and they became time displaced. Sent back 2,000 years, somewhere way, way off in space, not anywhere close to Earth, super far away. And for whatever reason, they, you know, they took over huge, huge parts of space. And so T'Challa decided, like, not knowing any of this, went to go, like, meet up with the explorers that he had sent out, who had become lost, and, like, try to rescue them. And I actually didn't quite get it. I read it at the time, or maybe shortly after it came out. And
the comic was confusing and you didn't get it. That's weird.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen to all of us all the time.
A Marvel book.
What is happening right now?
I hate when I read a comic and I'm like, this is too smart for me.
Yeah.
Makes me feel stupid. It really bums me out. But it wasn't until I was researching for this episode where it sort of sunk in. It's like, okay, they went back in time and then they caught up to the present.
Right.
Where there was like there, you know, this. So it was like,
they've had 2000 years of developing.
Exactly.
This
empire. So it was the future, but it wasn't the future.
Right. You're telling me that time travel gets convoluted.
Yes. What? Also space travel.
Yes. Ooh.
Space travel camp. Through time, comma space.
Yeah.
But it was like a lot of future tech and shiny holograms and, Afrofuturism. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it was very much like, it's so far in the future. And I like books like that. So far in the future that it may as well be an alternate universe, or it may as well be the past. Or, kind of similar to some of the stuff that happened in Sins of Sinister. I think about a year ago that came out.
Oh,
it was
an
ongoing where like Mr. Sinister basically put his DNA into every mutant and eventually every human, and just sort of took over the universe. And like, you know, first you see what happens 10 years in the future, what happens 100 years in the future, what happens 1,000 years in the future. And at a certain point, it just becomes...
I mean, he's just fat.
It's just, yeah. I mean, tell me about it.
just hanging out with his Cyclops kitty.
Yeah. I love stuff like that, though, where it's so far in the future that it may as well be magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I had to say about that.
Cool.
You should check it out.
I should.
You should check out some of it and see if you like it. And if you do, keep going.
Hmm.
And if you don't, don't. I feel like you don't need instruction from me.
No. Yeah. I'm just going to do it quick, because if I can mention Conan in an episode, I'm going to do it. I've been reading the new Conan, and I picked up the new issue, 7, I think it was, the other day. And so if you're unfamiliar with Conan, he lives in the past, the far, far past, the Hyborian Age is kind of the timeline he's given.
Yeah.
And they're doing this story where he's been battling. There's this black rock that has this evil force that's part of it, and not really sure what's going on. He's been battling all these things, and it's kind of taking him in different parts of the story, but it always seems to link back to this black rock and whatever. And then all of a sudden, in issue 6 going into issue 7, he suddenly wakes up and he's somewhere else, or something happens and he's transported.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's transported into the past from his own Hyborian Age to what is called the Thurian Age. And this links to Robert E. Howard, who created Conan, also created a bunch of other characters like Solomon Kane, which is more like Victorian, also created King Kull.
Yep.
Those group, like Conan and Kull, are actually linked by thousands of years. So it's like when the oceans drank Atlantis is always the start of the Conan thing. Kull is actually before the oceans drank Atlantis. And he's like, I don't know, the king of an area that while Atlantis is still there and they're being influenced.
I didn't realize that they took place in the same thing.
Yeah, but like they never, as far as I know, they've never crossed over, but I don't think Robert E. Howard ever crossed them over.
Right.
I'm curious if anybody else has, because now they're doing it, because he's suddenly Conan is back. And he meets up originally with, there's Brule the Spear Slayer, who suddenly comes, and he's a Pictish warrior that comes up to attack him. And I'm like, I know that name. Why do I know that name? And then eventually he gets introduced to King Kull.
And it's Kevin Sorbo, right?
And it's Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah. No!
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh, God. I know.
And then Lucy Lawless shows up just to put him in his place because he's being a dick.
Good.
But
she's right to do it.
Yeah. It's super interesting that like this is only the first issue. I'm like, fun.
That's interesting. That's like, well, I'm thinking that's like a cowboy meeting a pirate.
They're very similar in their technologies.
That's like
a
guy from the 60s meeting a guy from the 40s. I don't know much about history. That's like a guy from the year 1000 meeting a guy from the year 1200. He's like, whoa, the future.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a caveman meeting an earlier caveman. Yeah.
Is everything better? No!
But if you like that sort of stuff, check it out.
Huh.
Yeah. I have a couple of things, and I don't know, I'm just trying to figure out what I can.
What's the best one?
I
don't want to hear the bad
Don't tell
stuff.
Me the one.
Yeah, no, I want to be very, again, you're talking about Conan. I have to pick between talking about like Impulse and Teen Titans or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Renette, the time stress.
Teen Titans.
Let's do Titans. All right. So Titans Tomorrow, that was a certain run during like the Jeff Johns, Mike McCone era.
Yep.
Where they took the, you know, my friends, the Young Justice, the people who were kids when I was a kid and are now kids and I'm an old man. So comics are fun. Oh. It happens. So there was like a time travel story, and I believe it started with like Connell Superboy on a date with the Wonder Girl, and then just getting like just sucked into the future, and then popping out
like you do,
like months later, wearing like a full like classic like Superman Superboy outfit with the Legion belt, and he was like with the Legion for like 5 months, kind of trapped in the future,
just drinking beer out of little tiny glasses, and playing shuffleboard.
Yeah,
it was like that table shuffleboard they have at Legions.
It's the actual Legion.
I went to a Legion.
Yeah. No, he's not a superhero.
Superboy flies out of this portal and then he puts his hat back on because you don't wear a hat in a Legion.
No, you don't do it. It's not.
He just played darts.
And that table shuffleboard.
And the table shuffleboard.
My grandpa was a Legion president for many years. I'm aware. So he comes back and then they get caught in his future.
Bry's grandpa was Lightning Lad. Anyway, sorry.
It's true. So then, like, the Titans, they all have to go into the future, and they're dealing with the Legion of Superheroes. The Fatal Five are assembling a team of themselves, I think, from, like, different timelines.
Oh, that's
periods
fun.
Of time, like, the Fatal 500, and it's just made up of the Fatal Five, but, like, a whole bunch of all of them. And that's just how it starts off.
That's a lot of Manos hands.
Yes. Mm. That's kind of how it kicks off. The Legion get sort of trapped in time. The Titans get sent back, except they end up 10 years in the future from where they left. And then they find that things tend to get a little grim and a little dark when you go to a bad future, where they are there, but they're like adult selves, 10 years older. So they're like in their late 20s, I guess, now.
Yeah.
And like Superboy is now Superman. Wonder Girl is Wonder Woman. Tim Drake Robin is Batman.
Beast Boy is now Beast Man. Yeah. I know he wasn't on the team, but you know.
Yeah. Well, usually
he's just the Beast.
Something might have happened to Beast Boy. I don't know. Like Raven is there. Like they're all sort of there, but they're all like kind of.
Raven's now the Crow.
Yeah. Bart is the Flash,
which is weird because crows are smaller than Raven.
Well, you shrink when you get older.
That's fair.
It was Well, it was interesting in a couple, like, it's so there was like a bad future kind of a thing where they all sort of took
Bart
over.
Bart is now Kid Flash.
He already was at that point, but I mean, I was never a fan of that.
Nah.
I'm only a fan of Bart if he's Impulse, as far as I'm concerned. Nah. Everything else misses the point.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he had become the Flash, and like, they were all kind of darker, bad versions, like Tim Drake as Batman was just shooting people in the head.
Yeah, you know,
right.
Like Tim Drake is known to do. He's the one that breaks bad. Yeah.
He loves to shoot people in the head, which is, you know, and that I just thought it was kind of a fun one at the time. I mean, like the bad future had been done before. I don't think it had been done completely to death in with these characters to that point,
right.
You know what I mean? Like it's just endless at this point. So at the time it was pretty charming and it's kept coming back. Like even during the rebirth period, they brought back like evil future Tim Drake to interact with this Tim Drake, but also in a time when, you know, they hadn't brought back like pre-Flashpoint entirely like they have now. So you have like future Tim talking to young Tim about Connor, his like best friend.
Yeah.
And young Tim is just like, who's that?
Yeah.
Because it was like still sort of operating in New 52 rules. Confusing. I just find it like very interesting that one story, like they've brought that back multiple times. Like they keep bringing back like
that's
the
like
evil
people
Titans
liked
tomorrow.
It or something.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Kind of neat. And I find it funny because like Impulse himself is a time displaced character.
Yes.
Because that story was fun because Bart went to the future, the Legion of Superheroes time, but that's home for him. Like that's where he came from. Like that's originally where he came. His mom is there. Like he goes and sees his mom. He's like, oh yeah, my mom's in this timeline. It's just like, oh my God, I love it. Just how like, aww. You know what I mean? It's like literally like they happen to get thrown, like, you know, just like freaking so far into the future. He's just like, oh yeah, this is where I'm from. Cute.
Oh, this is my place.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Cool. My stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cute stuff. I don't know. That's just, I love time travel stuff, and there's just elements of that that I just found very lovely. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, I think that's all of us have to say.
Yes.
Thanks for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And here's to three more.
Yes.
I put a capper on it.
Oh, my God.
This is how Merc let us know. All right.
All right.
I'm kidding.
But before we go, let's let people know where they can find us. I would like to go first, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
My name is Kyle Lees, and you can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com or the Kyle Lees on Instagram. Yeah, I sometimes make stuff, not so much these days, but you know, the stuff I've made can't be unmade. That's not how time works. I'm always thinking.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how you, what's, you know, theories you just subscribe to on time travel, but.
The one that makes me money, please.
That's the one that's real.
Yay. Like the concept of money.
Yeah.
Real. Real, yes. And solid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For sure. Not a problem at all. I'm Bri Kotick. You can find me online at my name, which is Brykotyk, on various social media platforms, largely Instagram, Tumblr, and Blue Sky. I keep it weird choices, maybe, but they're mine. You can also find my comic at welcometohereafter.com. I haven't updated in a while, and I can't promise I'm updating anytime soon, but there's like 500 pages on there, and you can read them right now.
Wait, how much do I have to pay for that?
$0.
That's perfect. Perfect!
No.
I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Mercanaut like astronaut on Instagram. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. We should probably thank
Ocean City Defender.
Ocean City Defender.
Hey, Preston Merkley.
Hey, Preston Merkley. Yeah.
Also been with us for 10 years.
Yes. Leisure Class Audio.
That's true.
Got it right.
There we go. he has done all the music for us from the beginning. Several different incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
Super talented guy. Go check out his stuff and all that. And to all the people that have been listening.
Yeah.
Whether this is your first time or you've been with us for 10 years or, you know, 5 years or 3.5.
Or you came in, you dipped out, you came back or whatever.
After those first couple episodes, I don't blame you for dipping out. But thanks for coming back. And yeah.
It only took 10 years, but we kind of figured it out.
Yeah. We look forward to continuing to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it's freaking fun.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
It's free, buddy.
Bye.